Television's really just a hobby for me. I'm primarily occupied with my real estate holdings and making love to women who've won prizes for their beauty. But not anymore, because I have a great girlfriend. That's true. The point is... Can't win.
Back when he was doing dumb things like that, I would have never imagined that this is where we're going to be. And that guy who used to make those kinds of jokes with stunning regularity, that guy would be the person picked by the conservative evangelical Christians in America. Welcome to what the world looks like from America. Heading into 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being on the Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin, and I want to thank you so much for being here. So where we're going to begin today is with Comey. I've got a lot to say about Comey. I want to get into net neutrality. I want to get into beer versus marijuana. Of course, I want to get into the drinking problem and a few other things. I want to end on a much, much higher note today. Since this is going to be the last show for the calendar year 2018, as we wrap up TFYCPO, and I want to talk about what I want to refer to as be more kind. But let us begin with this. So the Republican House of Representatives is on their way out. And on their way out, they're doing everything possible to destroy democracy, because this is what they've done the entire time that they have been there. Now, the Mueller investigation is a real investigation, and it's netting real criminals, real convictions. It's getting people to admit to the real crimes that they did. So that means that it's a witch hunt, and that it was all put together by the Democrats, because they are clearly nothing more than sore losers, okay? We live in opposite land. Hillary Clinton didn't do anything wrong. Not with her emails, not with anything else. All this investigating into Benghazi, all this investigating into her emails turned up absolutely bupkis. So you know what that means? She's the most crooked politician ever, and she needs to be ceaselessly and endlessly. That's the absolute definition of a witch hunt, is what they're doing to Hillary Clinton. You say, Melvin, it's over. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton anymore. No, it's not true. Soon as the Republicans lost the House of Representatives in November, with the dwindling power that they held in their teeny tiny little hands, what they decided to do was to bring Jim Comey up to Capitol Hill to answer more questions. Fine. He does what Congress says. He goes up and he answers their dumb questions. Are you guys done with me? No. No, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, they decided to bring him up for a second time. Derek Nabbit, give us something on Hillary Clinton. Go arrest her right now. You know, President Trump has been implicated in crimes. His lawyer is now going to jail. You know, his one of his campaign managers is now going to jail. One of his deputy campaign managers is now going to jail. Like, something like 10 people that worked on his campaign or in his administration are going to prison. And the Republicans continue to hammer on, because see, law and order for them does not mean law and order. Law and order means we lock up the people that we do not like politically and everybody that's politically on our side. Everyone that's politically on our side gets to go free just because they're associated with us. So, after the second time Comey came out of one of these meetings where the Republicans were demanding, God damn it, just arrest her already. Give us something. He said, I've got nothing. Man. So he walks out of the room and the folks got questions for Comey. Now, Comey's a Republican. He's been his whole life registered, votes as. And he walks out of this room. And this is where they would say, no, now you're getting political, because he doesn't sound like a Republican, because he starts calling for all of these things that we generally don't hear a Republican call for. The other thing about Comey is he's fairly quiet, fairly reserved, just keeps his head down and gets his work done. But that was the old Comey.
Capitol Hill speaking
now. Emails and the Steele dossier. This, while the President of the United States is lying about the FBI, attacking the FBI, and attacking the rule of law in this country, how does that make any sense at all? Republicans used to understand that the actions of a president matter, the words of a president matter, the rule of law matters, and the truth matters. Where are those Republicans today? At some point, someone has to stand up, and in the face of fear of Fox News, fear of their base, fear of mean tweets, stand up for the values of this country and not slink away into retirement, but stand up and speak the truth. I find it frustrating to be here answering questions about things that are far less important than the values that this country is built upon.
So one of the things that he does in this, it wasn't an interview, he walks out of the room and he mentions Fox News by name. He goes, people, all the people that are lying and covering for this president, one of them is Fox News. And then Fox News, right on cue, decides to ask Jim Comey a dumb question.
Director Comey, the FBI's reputation has taken a big hit over the last year. Do you share any of the responsibility for that?
No. The FBI's reputation has taken a big hit because the President of the United States, with his acolytes, has lied about it constantly. And in the face of those lies, a whole lot of good people who watch your network believe that nonsense. That's a tragedy. That will be undone eventually, but that damage has nothing to do with me.
Woo! Comey! Right to her face. Your network is lying about the FBI. Even the premise of your question is an effing lie. You managed to not just lie to our faces. Your damn question is a lie. I ended last week's show with this idea. And the more and more I say it, the better and better it feels. And the more better it should feel to you too. That is, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Those labels are just poison because it's tribalism. What's right and what's wrong? If no matter what your party affiliation, is lying wrong? Just say it. Is murder wrong? Say it. Is murder with an AR-15 with a bump stock wrong? Say it. Is cheating on a test wrong? Say it. Is stabbing somebody wrong? Say it. Is punching somebody wrong? Say it. Is it wrong when you do these things that we traditionally consider wrong? Who did them? It doesn't matter who did them. It should the answer to the question should not be that you are a Democrat or a Republican, and so this is where you're at on a particular issue. The answer should be, are you a human? Do you believe in these old values? Are you an American? And Comey, and I was very proud of this, Comey got up there too and he said, it doesn't matter. These dumb party labels do not matter. Democrat, Republican, fine, whatever. What should matter is what's right.
Happy to take your question.
What impact does it have when the president calls Michael Cohen a rat, someone who's cooperating with an investigation and questions how his office was raided by the FBI?
It undermines the rule of law. This is the president of the United States calling a witness who has cooperated with his own Justice Department a rat. Say that again to yourself at home and remind yourself where we have ended up. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. This is about what does it mean to be an American? What are the things that we care about above our policy disputes, which are important? There's a set of values that represent the glue of this country, and they are under attack by things just like that. We have to stop being numb to it. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you need to stand on your feet, overcome your shame, and say something.
Sang it, players, sang it! And he did! He's just up there, and this is the kind of refreshing thing that we should be hearing from all of our politicians all the time, regardless of party. Now, Comey gets to speak because Comey isn't gunning for a job, nor is he trying to hold on to a job. Now, the one thing that he said, the president of the United States called someone who's cooperating with his own Justice Department a rat. Now, for Republicans, that's okay by and large. I know there's some good ones out there. That's okay by and large because it's a Republican that's doing it. No, it's still wrong. For the Republicans, I think it's okay for this president to act like a criminal. Let me give you this. Let's say that Barack Obama called somebody that was cooperating with his Justice Department against him a rat. Would you, the United States Republican Party, the 90% of you that are okay with this, would you then be pissing your pants about this particular issue? If the answer to that question is yes, and it is, then you should be freaking out right now. Now, for those of you that said no, you're lying because you freaked out when the guy wore a tan suit. So when the president decided to call someone who's cooperated with his Justice Department a rat, that's where things began to turn a little bit. Judge Napolitano, who is a fearless defender of the lawbreakers in the Republican Party, started to turn last week. Shep Smith has always been turned and always calls out people on his own network. I don't know how the guy still has a job there. But even Fox News is beginning to turn against the president a little bit because he really is becoming undefendable.
There's ample evidence. This doesn't require too much analysis to indict the president. The question is, do they want to do it? The DOJ has three opinions on this. Two say you can't indict a sitting president. One says you can. But all three address the problem of what do you do when the statute of limitations is about to expire? All three agree in that circumstance you indict in secret, keep the indictment sealed, and release it the day he gets out of office. You can't let a person go scot-free because they happen to be in the White House.
So he may be an already indicted co-conspirator.
That I don't know about, but it could be because we don't know what's been sealed.
So there's been a little bit of turnover in the Trump administration again, and they're big ones this time. The president's chief of staff is leaving, and he's taking his budget director, and he's going to put that guy into the spot, okay? The budget director, his name is Mick Mulvaney. And what he's famous for is taking food out of the mouths of poor people and giving it to rich people. The guy is an absolute inside and out libertarian, whatever it takes to F over working people, that's him. So he is going to be both, or he's going to move from one to another. See, the turnover in this administration, for any other administration, would have just gotten the American people to turn hard against them. And I don't just mean whoever was already opposing that administration, Democrats, Republicans, everybody would go, whoa, that's dysfunction. See, early on, Rachel Maddow started doing this thing on her show where she had all the people that were quitting or being fired, and it was on a wall behind her. And then as that list grew and grew and grew, she had to take up another wall behind her. And that list continued to grow and grow and grow. And now, Rachel explains, boy, they got to do some fancy camera work just to show you all the people that are quitting or being fired.
We keep putting up this list, and it's getting longer and longer and longer and more ridiculous. I mean, literally at this point, we have to like do fancy camera work where I turn so you can have the bigger wall behind me so that we can make the list this big. This is nuts.
Mick Mulvaney, by his own admission, thinks that Trump is a terrible human being, which means, amazingly, that Mick Mulvaney and I agree on something. Huh? See that? We're not that different. So how does he get a job in the Trump administration when he says something like this? So this clip just came out, and it's been making the rounds on television. It's a little bit hard to hear, so I'll try to explain it to you at the end. But this is a taping of Mick Mulvaney talking about Donald Trump back in 2016.
Do I like Donald Trump? No. Is he a role model for two of my 16-year-old triplets, who those of you who don't know about me, two boys and a girl? Is he a role model for my sons? Absolutely not. Yes, I'm supporting Donald Trump. I'm doing so as enthusiastically as I can, given the fact that I think he's a terrible human being. But the choice on the other side is just as bad.
So, is Donald Trump a role model for my 16-year-old boys? No. Do I like Donald Trump? No. But I am enthusiastically endorsing and supporting Donald Trump, even though he's a terrible human being. Those are his words. And those words have been played even on Fox News now. And the thing about Fox is they know, especially if it's on during Fox and Friends, they know that the president is specifically watching, because that's how he gets his information, is he watches television. So Mick Mulvaney has been asked about this, and he said, well, that was before I got to know the president. Now I don't think he's a terrible human being. Wow, we know more than ever. This is where you should think he's even more terrible than ever. But then something else happened. So the Mick Mulvaney thing, you know, his chief of staff leaving, that got, because he's on his third or fourth chief of staff. So that got some headlines. But this was a big one. James Mad Dog Mattis, the United States Secretary of Defense. Now, this is a big one, and you might not realize it. So with James Mattis, so after you leave the military, if I remember correctly, I'm doing this from memory. You can write to me to correct me if you'd like. I believe it's 7 years that you have to be out of the military as one of these top brass guys before you can work, you know, inside the White House. And it was so important for Trump to get this guy. And by the way, so important for this guy, James Mattis, to get this job as Secretary of Defense, that he had to go in front of Congress. Congress heard him out. Congress heard the president out. And they decided to make an exception for him to go ahead and join Trump's administration and not have to, you know, do his 7 years away. You know, just go right in, because it was so important. And Trump loved this guy, called this guy one of his generals. And this guy loved Trump, wanted to work for Trump. This guy, as if from nowhere, just announced he's quitting. Now, President Dum Dum went on Twitter, I want to thank you, General Mattis, for blah, 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 all the crap he says. But then Mattis's letter leaked out, his resignation letter. And what we learned is he doesn't think too highly of Trump. He doesn't think too highly about the way Trump does things, and believes that what's happening inside the president's White House is absolute chaos. The disrespect for our allies, the way that we're conducting ourselves in the Middle East, the pullout in Syria. And I don't think people realize how important that is, the pullout in Syria. Quick history, we are in Syria right now fighting with the Kurds to defeat ISIS. When you hear ISIS is being defeated, when you hear that they are on the run, that is why it's happening, because we are supporting the Kurds in Syria to fight them. Okay, the leader of Turkey would very, very much like us out of the U.S., out of Syria, so that he can go in and wipe out the Kurds, okay? So that's the president of Turkey. ISIS would very, very much like us out of Syria so that they can begin rebuilding their army again and create more terrorism. Bashar al-Assad, the leader of Syria, would very much like us to be out of there so that he can also slaughter the Kurds and continue to slaughter his own people, which he has done a lot. Okay, and Putin supports what Turkey wants to do. Putin supports what the president of Syria wants to do with slaughtering his own people. Putin supports ISIS. So you've got dictators and terrorists. Those are the only people that are happy with the fact that we're going to leave Syria. And without talking with anybody, not his generals, not the Secretary of Defense, not anybody, he just announces that we are getting out of Syria without even a second thought. Now, nothing has happened yet, but if Putin's happy, President of Turkey's happy, Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, is happy, and then, of course, the terrorists are happy, why the hell are we doing what we're doing? The Russia thing is important, and it gets dismissed a lot. Whenever I mention the Russia thing, they go, you sore loser. And it's not even about that anymore. That's a thing. We know that's a thing. Between suppressing voter turnout, you know, of course, what happened online with Russia and the Internet Research Group. Okay, but that's not even what I'm talking about. See, Putin has begun talking like he feels like there's a war coming. And you don't hear a lot about it because it's not sexy talk. You know, it isn't someone leaving the administration or isn't the dumb thing that Donald Trump did, you know, and it isn't puppies and kittens or some guy that just learned how to walk after not being able to walk for 20 years, which is a fabulous story. But it's nowhere near as important as the things that is happening in Russia, around Russia, and with the way Putin is talking right now. Putin recently announced that the fact that there are so many nuclear weapons makes the world a very unsafe place. All of these weapons could potentially wipe out civilization. You know, wipe all of us off the face of the earth. Just end life as a... Why is he talking like that? I thought we were friends with Russia. I thought we got along with Russia. I thought we were all Russians now, right? Why is he all of a sudden talking like this? I don't watch Brian Williams' show on MSNBC, but he does a show called The 11th Hour. I came home the other night really late from a gig. I usually listen to some sort of lo-fi hip-hop, something without heavy beats, something without a lot of vocals, and I just kick it. Because I've been hearing booming music all night. I just kick it on the ride home and listen to this lo-fi hip-hop. But the other night, I decided to turn on MSNBC. Let's see what's happening this late at night when nobody is watching. And Brian Williams was just wrapping up his show. And he did this little two-minute piece. I'm going to play it for you now. He did this two-minute piece about Russia. And he made a lot of points, and he pointed out a lot of things that even I'm missing that these things are going on, and I feel like it's incredibly important audio. When I heard it, I hit rewind and I hit record, and my God, I have to bring it to you today.
Last thing before we go here tonight, and let's be direct, one of the fears people have about anyone in senior management in this country who might have been compromised by Russia about this whole way we apparently view Russia now is this question. What does the U.S. do if Russia decides to make a move somewhere, anywhere on this planet? We've already seen a lot of imagery just lately, satellite photos showing rows of armor and active cargo flights near Crimea, suggesting a major move is coming against Ukraine. But as they say on TV, what if we told you the Russians were active in the air a lot closer to the U.S.? How about as close as the Caribbean? Websites that track military aviation around the world positively lit up this week when a couple of Russian Tu-160 long-range aircraft, we're talking about strategic supersonic nuclear-capable bombers, arrived in Venezuela. The large aircraft are known as white swans to their Russian pilots. NATO calls them blackjack bombers. Venezuela, as you may know, is flatlining, a rolling human rights disaster. Its economy and social services are in free fall. While likely unarmed, the Russian bombers flew around on missions over the Caribbean. They were supported by other aircraft during their stay at an airfield outside of Caracas. They are now said to be en route back home. Russia and Venezuela have had a military relationship for years. The U.S. doesn't really fear the establishment of a Russian airbase in Venezuela. But the U.S. did push back hard against this show of Russian military reach across the planet. It's believed this may all be payback for a recent U.S. military air mission over Ukraine.
What is Russia doing? And what is Russia doing while nobody is watching? All this talk about the interference, and while our president is just locked in with whatever this guy wants to do, refusing to criticize him. This guy's building up weapons everywhere and talking about how the world is at this apex of a threat right now, where man, civilization might just get wiped out, and our president refuses to call him out, refuses to do anything about it. And nobody in this country is watching. I'm not trying to ring the alarm, But I want everyone to understand the Russian interference was not about Hillary Clinton losing. Vladimir Putin plays a long game. And I would like to know, what is his long game?
You got the Whopper?
Yeah.
So you got the slow access Whopper pass?
Wait.
It's on the menu right there with the fast, medium, and slow. Slow Mbps, fast Mbps, or hyper fast Mbps. Mbps, of course, standing for making burgers per second. Burger King Corporation believes that they can sell more and make more money selling like chicken sandwiches and chicken fries, and now they're slowing down the access to the Whopper. Whopper neutrality was repealed. They voted on it.
Whopper what?
This doesn't make any sense.
I feel like I was being taken advantage of in a sense. Just as a customer coming in to get their food, it's felt like a power move.
They already changed the policies overnight or whatever.
I didn't think that ordering a Whopper would really open my eyes up to net neutrality.
So Burger King did this thing where they said, okay, you want the Whopper? You want the slow, the medium, or the fast, right? If you go in and you order a Whopper, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're willing to pay for the Whopper, they're going to make your Whopper, and they're going to make your Whopper just as fast as they make anybody else's Whopper. Nobody gets, you know, the fast, medium, or slow Whopper, right? Everyone gets the same damn Whopper. You pay for the Whopper. You can buy a bigger Whopper. You can pay more money for it. But if you walk in and you order just a Whopper, see, Burger King did this fabulous thing, and I think the whole world missed it. When net neutrality was going away, they decided to conduct this experiment inside a few of their restaurants and videotape it. And then after they explained the whole, well, you know, you don't get access to the same Whopper, even though it's the same as that guy's Whopper. So you gotta pay more, you know, to get what you were getting before. And then people's eyes began opening, and they did this on their own. They're a major corporation. I don't know why they specifically decided to do it, but I'm super glad that they did it. But this is how important it is to everybody. Usually, when it comes to just about any issue, people are on one side and corporations are on another side. And surely because of the power that they have in Washington and the money that they have in their pockets, the corporations tend to win out every time. But everybody, with the exception of Republicans and ISPs and probably terrorists, fine, I don't know, everybody is on the same side of this issue when it comes to net neutrality. So because of Ajit Pai, because of the election of Donald Trump, because of the United States Republican Congress, we're losing net neutrality. All right, it's gone away. It's been voted out. They did a comment period. You may remember this, an article from ARS Technica back in August that said 98.5% of the unique net neutrality comments oppose Ajit Pai's anti-Title II plan. So the internet that we had prior to Donald Trump becoming president and Ajit Pai becoming the head of the FCC, that internet is going to go away. And if you want what you have now, you're going to have to pay more for it. So 98.5% of people, is there anything, when you talk about puppies, talk about kittens, talk about being rich, is there anything where 98.5% of people agree? The answer, let me shake it down for you. The answer is no. But there's still, now that's the unique comments. There were bots that were also adding comments as well. And what we've now learned is those were very likely Russia. Why? Because Russia does not have the kind of freedom that we have with the internet in their country, and they would very much like for us to lose it. So this is what we found out this month, also from ARS Technica. Report, FBI opens criminal investigation into net neutrality comment fraud. quoting here, up to 9.5 million comments were fraudulent. And who do they think did it? Without an investigation, we're not going to know, but they strongly suspect the Internet Research Group. Who is the Internet Research Group? That's the troll farm that was set up by the Russians. So that troll farm that was set up initially was just to help the Republican get elected. Then that Republican became Donald Trump. Then it was there to help Donald Trump and hurt Hillary Clinton. Once Donald Trump won, those troll farms are still, now that he's president, helping him out. Everything that those troll farms do from Russia is to help specifically Donald Trump. Those troll farms during this last election were actually creating memes and putting them on social media. And the memes said things like, there's one that really stuck out of my mind, and it's called Blackstagram, which is a page on Instagram. And what it said is the Democrats are not really on your side, so you should not vote for the Democrats. You know, they did this during the election too. Of course, those pages have been taken down because we know that those were set up by the Russians. During the election, it said this should be an all women voting. By the way, I've said that. I said I think only women should vote, but I mean that as an official policy. If you see a meme on the internet and it says that you should stay home, don't listen to what the effing memes say. But here's the problem. Everyone listens to what the memes say. This same Russian troll farm has also been creating memes. They do everything with memes because people treat memes like newspapers. They're not. Anybody with a computer, a little bit of knowledge, and some time on their hands can create a meme, and then that becomes your newspaper. These memes have also been created to say that Robert Mueller is highly conflicted, he has a bunch of angry Democrats working for him, and it's a witch hunt, and it's all this Russian troll farm, the Internet Research Agency, that are creating these things. It's not for me, just because it's anti-democratic, and I mean that in the macro sense and the micro sense. But the fact that somebody has that much power over our country right now is absolutely nuts to me, and everybody should be up in arms about this. And it's the FBI that is now investigating this Russian troll farm, who came up with all these fake comments during the comment period when the FCC was looking into getting rid of net neutrality. And by the way, they were always going to get rid of it no matter what. But the FBI is now looking into these comments at the same time the president is endlessly attacking the FBI.
They're up here attacking the FBI's investigation of a guy who pled guilty to lying to the FBI. He should have been warned you shouldn't lie. He should have been told you can have a lawyer. Think of the state of affairs we've ended up in. That's nonsense.
So there's an article here from Complex.com. The headline, Vladimir Putin aims to control rap music in Russia. Quoting here, in response to the growing influence that rap music has on Russian youth, Vladimir Putin has decided to appoint cultural leaders to start controlling it rather than outright banning it, he explained. If it is possible to stop, then we must lead it and direct it. While conducting a meeting in St. Petersburg, Putin made the generalization that rap is based on three pillars: sex, drugs, and protest. Yes! Yes, it is. Back to the article. However, the Russian president is reportedly most concerned with the circulation of drug references, claiming that this is a path to the degradation of the nation. No, Vladimir Putin being president of Russia, that's the path to the degradation of the nation. Rather than banning rap artists from performing, Putin believes prohibition will lead to their increased popularity. So he has said that he intends on appointing cultural leaders to come up with a plan to control the dissemination of rap music. When explaining his decision not to ban the genre altogether, he referred to that approach as the least effective, the worst one that anyone could come up with, knowing that when you ban something, it only gets more popular. This decision does not come as a surprise, given that the Russian government is currently enforcing a crackdown on contemporary music reminiscent of Soviet-era prohibitions. Last month, a rapper by the name of Husky was arrested following an impromptu performance in the city of Krasnodar. The rapper has been known to incorporate lyrics to call out corruption, police brutality, and poverty. While preparing for a performance in late November, local officials went as far as warning venue management that this act is considered extremism. So, the United States Republican Party, the people that support Donald Trump, are completely in love with Putin. They're totally cool with him getting rid of rap music. They're totally cool with him being homophobic. They're totally cool with him getting a hand in our elections. They're totally cool with him building up his military. I have to ask, what does it mean to be a patriot? I'm talking to you, Republicans. What does it mean to be a patriot? Now back to where I was at the beginning and the end of last week's show. Don't tell me if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Tell me if you think that it's okay that Vladimir Putin is doing that to his people in his country. And that's what he would like to see in our country. Don't tell me if you're a Democrat or Republican. Just tell me if it's okay for a foreign country to get involved in the election of another country, to set up troll farms, to change people's minds, to target very specific voters in very specific states to make sure that you do not get the president that you want. Don't tell me your party. Tell me if you think that's okay. I'm going to finish up with this and then I'm going to get a little more social on you. Not social media. The headline, and I might just read the headline. Mitch McConnell thinks it was a mistake that voters did not elect accused child molester Roy Moore. This according to a recent Wall Street Journal interview. Okay, so I just, for those of you in Kentucky, I have to ask, and this is the problem. Kentucky is not a very populous state, but this guy, this Mitch McConnell, has done more damage. And by the way, he's not the only senator, but you wouldn't know it. He's done so much damage to his state, to his party, to this country, and his time in there. Just an absolute wrecking ball. If you are from Kentucky and you know somebody that voted for him, I just got to ask, are they aware of the crap that he does? Are they proud of the destruction that this man has laid out? Just ask him for me and report back. My goodness. So we made a bunch of positive steps forward despite what's been going on the last number of years, especially since the 2016 election. And that is that we have legalized in several states marijuana, not just for medicinal, but also for personal use. And there is a move underway in Oregon right now because even though marijuana is legal, it is also still legal for them in their state, for your employer in the state of Oregon, to demand that you go and you piss in a cup for them. It's insane. And they say, hey, if it's legal, it should not be up to my boss what I do on the weekends. By the way, your boss already gets to demand that you go in and you get a full medical checkup, like a full physical, you know, before they tell you what your options are as far as offering you healthcare goes. I don't think that your employer should be involved in any of those decisions, but I suppose I'm kind of old school as far as that goes. But with respect to marijuana, as soon as it started becoming legal, folks said, oh, there goes the craft beer industry. Now, by the way, we already have a problem with alcohol. We've got a big problem with alcohol. A problem that's so big that I really wish more and more people would start moving towards marijuana instead. And I don't mean marijuana and driving. I mean maybe marijuana instead of alcohol. Alcohol deaths have been going up every year since 2000. And studies show, quoting from an article here, deaths linked to alcohol are up 35% to 50% since 2000. Even though less than 60% of U.S. adults drink alcohol, alcohol deaths are claiming more people than others. Now, I understand alcohol is not the only problem, but the thing with alcohol is it's so easy to get. And with that tax cut that the Republicans just passed, it cut alcohol taxes, making alcohol even easier to get. Now, I myself, I'm a drinker, but I don't drink that much that often. My dad has a gigantic alcohol problem that he's fighting with right now, and I I can't offer any help. I talk to them about it, and I give him an ear, and I doubt I'm the only ear he has. But he's struggling with it right now. He's trying to find his way around it. He's retired, and I said, Dad, what are your hobbies, you know? Well, you know, bowling and riding motorcycles and going on the boat. And I go, God, that stuff sounds great. And he says, but man, when we bowled, we always drank. And when we ride motorcycles, we, you know, we'd stop and get a pint while we're out riding. We're on the boat, man. We drink beer on the boat. He goes, everything revolved around alcohol. And of course, there's any number of ways that people talk about to sort of take care of the alcohol problem. But I think giving more people the option of marijuana over alcohol might help with that. And people don't go out to bars and smoke on a pound, you know, they go out to bars and they get a pint. And I think the dynamic would change. I think we'd have less impaired people on the road. Now, there would be a few more people impaired on marijuana. Yes, I'll say it. But marijuana has this effect that alcohol does not have. I've gotten high with people, and we sit around, and we get mellow, and we get dumb, and that's the night. But alcohol, sort of, it's a depressant, but it sort of ramps people up, and I've witnessed that. And it can get pretty nuts. And for some people, you know, my father included, they can just get downright angry. So I would like to see the move away from alcohol to cannabis. And I think the more we relax these cannabis laws, we'll get that. So then it begs the question, craft brewers. Craft breweries are a big thing right now. And the headline here from Esquire, and this article came out about 2-3 weeks ago. The headline says, craft brewers say they aren't threatened by cannabis. Well, that's great. They know that they're always going to have their base, you know, and they know that the way that, you know, they make money is by the craft that they do. Now, if you run a bar and you sell swill in a glass, then obviously the way you make your money is with alcoholics. But if you drink craft beer, it becomes kind of hard to become an alcoholic because it's super duper expensive, although some folks will find a way. But I believe that there's a harmony here where we will not wipe out the alcohol industry. The two will be able to coexist. And, you know, you might not sell as much alcohol. Fine. We're selling too much already and too many people are dying. So the headline, craft brewers say that they aren't threatened by cannabis. They're threatened by iPhones. Quoting here from the article, Bob Pease, president and CEO of the Brewers Association, says that while cannabis is a concern, the sales numbers don't make it a real threat. It's phones that are doing a number on craft brewing. We look at cannabis as another product beer consumers can choose to enjoy with their disposable incomes, just like wine, spirits, and, of course, the iPhone. This according to Beverage Daily. We think the iPhone is a bigger threat right now, probably to beer than cannabis. You used to go out and meet people, go out to a bar. Now you just swipe right on your phone and you don't need to go anywhere. Of course, all this is part of an evolving society. And I think that he's right. So they're trying different things. They're trying CBD-infused beer and all the rest, and I've tried it, and it's okay, but it's not going to make me choose CBD beer more. But the point that he makes is this connection, right? This face-to-face human connection. Like, that's the kind of thing that he sees going away. He says, we're going to find a way to coexist with cannabis. And I think that's great. I love the guy's attitude. He says, but the thing that we can't deal with are the fact that people don't want to meet out and meet face to face anymore. And it doesn't matter what restaurant or what brewery I personally go to. The minute I walk in, I can scan the room, and I do. And better than half the people have at least one person in their booth looking on their phone. Peep this. There are people right in front of you. Real people. That damn phone will be there later. It'll be there when you get home. Be there before you go to bed, although you shouldn't look at it in bed. There are people right in front of you right now. When your skin touches their skin, it will release pleasure chemicals in your brain. The conversation that you can have with real people right in front of you who are willing to talk with you and be candid can also be very, very good for your brain, your heart, your mind, your overall well-being. Talk to them. Oh, but Melvin, something's happening on social media. F social media. Talk to the people in front of you. This is the time of year where for 2 weeks I do no truck driving and I do no DJing, and I can't tell you how little I effing care. I'm ready for this time off, and I'm ready to be in front of people, and I'm ready to make human connections, and I'm ready to have those conversations, even if they can be contentious and cantankerous. I am ready to have people in front of me. This is my time of year. And I just want you to look at yourself, and I want you to look at other people. And I don't want you to make people feel bad. I do this to my daughters, and I probably shouldn't, but I see them on their phones, and I take my hand, and I take the palm of my hand, and I turn it up towards the ceiling, and then I turn my palm down, which is my way of saying, get off the phone and put it face down on the table. That's the way I deal with not looking at my phone. When it's dinner time, when it's time to go out for a pint, boom. Face down, you know, yeah, crap is still going to come through. Fine, you know, so I'll turn the volume down. But face down and enjoy the people in front of you. And it's not just this time of year that should be happening. That should be happening all the time. I got to get to these other stories before I get out of here. A couple of positive things. The headline, this from Politico. Betsy DeVos cancels $150 million in student loan debt after losing a court battle. So what court battle did she lose? So there are all these schools that pop up, and I've talked about them on this particular microphone, where all they do is they set up this school. It's not a good school. It may not even be properly accredited, but they set up this school. Like it's a medical school or it's a technical school or whatever the hell it is. They charge, it's for profit. They charge a gang of money. They get people in there depending on what state that they're operating in. Those teachers might not even have to be certified. It's really just a cardboard box, a really fancy looking cardboard box with some people inside of it that want your money. They appeal in the front office. You go in, you say, yes, I'm interested in your school. I'd like to go to this school right here. And they say, fine, go and take out a bunch of freaking loans. People go out and they take a bunch of freaking loans out, and they go to the school. School collects all those loans. They might educate you for a couple of months, and then poof, they're gone in the night, fly by night. And they take your money with them, but you're still on the hook for the money. So the Obama administration implemented a rule. Students are not liable if they get taken by these schools. Betsy DeVos has been fighting to make sure that you are liable when you get ripped off by these schools. So a decision was made this week, and it's this. You cannot hold those people responsible because they were taken by a scam school. Betsy DeVos does not want to cancel the debt. She wants people to still have to pay the shysters that ripped off the students. But Betsy DeVos, and this is where elections have consequences. Betsy DeVos is a scumbag and loves it when you get ripped off. And she just lost a case this week. So that's positive. So that stuff is going to have to go away. Now, it's nowhere near $150 million. Please, we have $1.4 trillion in outstanding student loan debt right now. So $150 million, sort of just a drop in the bucket. But hey, something is something. So someone else will have a Merry Christmas. Oh, this is a fun one. All right. So the headline... Gender neutral Santa. Survey says Saint Nick is ready for a rebranding. So quoting here, a gender neutral hipster Santa. That's among the suggestions a logo design company had received when it asked people how they would update the image of Saint Nick. This according to CBS Pittsburgh. Graphic Springs said it had surveyed 400 people in the U.S. and U.K., and then 4,000 voted on the suggestions. The results said 27% of people believe that Santa should be a woman or general neutral. That's where I'm at. I think Santa should be a lady, not an old white guy. Nearly 11% voted for a female Santa, while 17% approved of a gender neutral Kris Kringle. Still, 72% said that Santa should be a man. I don't understand why. I would like a female Santa, or just get rid of Santa altogether. Among the other suggestions, 22% said that he should trade in the sleigh and reindeer for a flying car. Yeah, I'm with that party. 25% said that he should turn in his boots and wear trainers. Nah, I think boots are good. Boots are universal. 21% said that he should go on a diet. I'm going to leave that one alone. 23% said that he should use Amazon Prime. My God, you guys just work in Amazon. Shut up. 20% said a tattooed Santa would be cool. Yeah, Okay, yeah, I'm with those guys. Okay, 18% said that he should get a new hairstyle and wear skinny jeans. You people can go to hell. That is not where I am at. I don't know. Santa does not need to wear skinny jeans. You know, just, you know, not the, just pants that fit. That's fine. They shouldn't hang off his ass, but I don't think that they should be skinny jeans either. I told you I was going to round out the show with ways to be more kind. And I would just like to say, for those of you that don't want to hear this, you can just go ahead and go away now. Hit goodbye, and I will talk to you next week. But the thing that has bothered me more than anything about the recent developments is it's not the geopolitics, and, you know, it's not just Donald Trump as president, and it's, you know, it's not just climate change. It really, really is the way we treat each other. And the fact that we are able to look at each other as not American or not human in any and all the rest, and we put down people based on their gender or their sexual orientation. And it just kills me. And I've got this thing where I can't be cruel. And I don't know why other people would want to be cruel. I've got this article. I keep this, not on me all the time, but I keep this in my office all the time. I look over it, and these are some fun suggestions. Just random acts, kindness, niceness, just not being a dick to your fellow man. This by Michael Connor over at HuffPo. Smile. That's an easy one. I smile so much it's ridiculous. I've got mad smile lines. Like, nothing else on me has aged but the corners of my eyes. I got ridiculous smile lines, and God damn it, I earned those smile lines. Handwritten thank you notes. I still do this. I also still do handwritten love notes. It's not just a bunch of text for me. If you use public transport and it's busy, there are no free seats. Be the first to stand up and let a weary traveler, pregnant woman, or elderly person take rest. Yes, I do that. Pay it forward. When you're in a coffee shop or cafe, maybe buy the coffee or cake in advance for the next customer that comes in. I've seen that happen before, and it's absolutely beautiful. I've never done it myself or had it done for me, but I've seen it, and it warms my heart every time I see it. When you see a homeless person, think about how you might be able to help them in some way. Buy a lunch, ask them if there's anything they need, give them a warm coat, spend some time, share a conversation. It hurts me that I go to bed every night in a warm bed next to my beautiful wife. You know, in the same house as my beautiful, brilliant children. I know I'm lucky. I know how well I'm doing, but I ache because other folks are not, and they're right outside my door. I wish there was more we could do about that. That thing you're going to sell, why not give it away for free? Yeah, I do that 100%. I rarely sell everything. I always give it away. Send flowers unexpectedly. No reason needed. It's easier than ever because of the internet. Hold doors open, even for people who are a little further away from the door than usual. Make your colleagues or classmates a hot drink. Expect nothing in return. Donuts. Why not just buy a bag of donuts and leave it at work? People do that at my work, and I love it. I shouldn't eat them, but I do. I don't care. I'm half made of donuts. Does someone owe you money? Forgive the debt. When a person is talking to you, really, and I mean really, listen to them. Pass books on, especially the good ones, or leave them in public places for other people to find. I don't do the public places one, but I'm always willing to talk with other people about books. And I don't read books about how awful Republicans are or how great Democrats are. I read very thoughtful, analytical, I know, nerd stuff. But I've passed on my favorite book ever is The Alphabet Versus the Goddess. That's my favorite book ever. And I tell people about it, and when they take the time to read it, I've gotten quite a few thank yous about that one. Ask elderly neighbors if they need anything. Tell your loved ones that you love them regularly. I'm sure you're doing that already. When you are served in a coffee shop, bar, restaurant, make eye contact and sincerely thank them for their help. Yes, that's a thing I do. Some of these I don't, and I work on them. Put coins in a meter, any meter that's about to expire. It's illegal in some places, but F them. Let's be nice this season. If you know someone that is particularly busy, offer to take their dog for a walk. When a thought of generosity arises on you, act on it. Don't hold back. It might go away. That one's important. Someone struggling with money problems, find a way to secretly help them if you can. But remember, you can't expect that money back. Just do it. out of kindness. Now, that one I've done. I don't loan money, but if I do, I never expect it back, because that can destroy friendships. Take a friend to dinner. Stand up for others. Stop complaining. Standing in a line, let someone go before you. Tell someone that they look nice. Volunteer some time to help a charity or a homeless shelter. Don't speak ill of others. Let your words be kind. Forgive a driver for their error on the road. Okay, yeah, I do that. I get flipped off all the time, but I do not fight back. I just don't care. I don't have the time. God, Dad, just want to get home. Recycle, that's an easy one. You should all be doing that. Think of the people in your life. What help do they need? Chores, tasks. Don't wait to be asked. Be the calm voice in a stressful situation. Donate to a favorite charity. Spend some time with a senior citizen who's living on their own. Teach a child something you wish you knew at that age. I do that. There's an old saying, be the person that you needed when you were their age. And that's an important one for me. You know, don't raise them to be angry gun nuts. Just be nice. Be the person you needed. Teach a child something you wish you knew at that age. If a friend or family member is having a hard time, make sure that they know that you're there for them and are available to talk and help. I've got a friend going through a hard time right now, and I let him know. You know, anytime he reaches out to me, that, man, I'm here. And he says, no, I don't want to be a downer. I am here no matter what. I'm your friend, and that's what friends do. Give blood, donate to, or volunteer for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Encourage someone to pursue their dream. And the easiest one of all, if you do none of the other things on the list, just make sure to say please and thank you. It's so, so simple. And that's the way that we are going to wrap up the year. And I hope you're able to take these words to heart going forward. I hope you get in all the time that you love with the people that you love. I hope you're able to go back to work refreshed after the new year. I look forward to doing another couple dozen shows of you or whatever we've got left here. Thank you for all the years of support. My life is incredibly blessed and could not get any better. And I hope the same can be said for you. And if not now, then I hope that it can be said soon about your life. Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is on Podbean, tfycpo.podbean.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/tfycpo. I see people leaving comments now from conservatives about how much they effing hate me. I don't care. You can't put out this fire. And if you want to send me a letter, tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with you, our listeners, because this is about having a conversation. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail. Rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing. And Kevin, you are my brother, man. I am always going to be there for you. Just know that. No matter what, give me a call. This is Melvin, signing off. Now that I've woken you up, good morning.